Welcome to our special chapel, our Good Friday service, if you would. And I'm thankful for Faith and particularly Dr. Jim, who has had a burden to make this chapel a unique one, because it is the most important weekend of our belief that Christ was killed. Died, he buried, and he rose again on the third day. And so we want to highlight that by reading scripture and songs and special music, make a few comments. Pray for Dr. Jim, if you would. I think this is the first one he's missed since he's been here. Many of you have been sick, and he picked it up as well. So I know he's on death's door to not be here and being sick. How many of you have picked up some kind of virus or sick over the last week or two? Let me see your hands, just like you want to get saved, okay? Not quite as many as what I thought, but there is quite a few. So it is going around. Encourage you to be healthy this weekend. Get some extra rest. Many of you are traveling. How many of you are leaving for the weekend? Let me see your hands. Okay, many of you. Great. We're glad you're able to do so. And we tried to make this schedule on Friday appropriate so you have extra time for many of you that are traveling. And I do pray for your church, wherever you're at on Sunday, that would be a day that would be meaningful to you, and then gives you Monday. So I'm thankful that the school can provide that for you. Let me pray, then we'll stand. Dr. Ellis will come. We've got a lot of scripture to read and songs to be sung. I pray that it would be meaningful to you, and make it that way if you would. God, thank you again that we have a privilege in our country to serve you and as your children of God in this country, and as the world celebrates this event, many of them have replaced it in completely different terms and different meanings. We realize that this is celebrating the resurrection day, and as the church, the first day of the week, became a pattern for us. But we do realize that this Friday, the culmination of all that had been the purpose of Christ's life, for this moment, these 6 hours on this Friday. And we would pause to reflect again on this story that is painful, but needed and provided by you. And then our singing and the music and the scripture reading that would be elevated for you, and helping us to be able to give you appropriate biblical worship. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture readings today will be from the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be starting in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 54. Luke 22, 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, it is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you've brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man! Release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will.
Let's continue reading, if we may, picking up the story in Luke 23, verse 26 to 32. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren and wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There are also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death.
Luke 23, starting in verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews."
You have your Bibles. Let's continue reading in Luke 23, picking up in verse 39 to 45. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
Our reading continues in chapter 23, starting with verse 47. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
As we close today, those of you that were students here the last few days with Dr. Sigler, who emphasized the importance of Israel today, but also understanding that our Christian beliefs and things we've sung are deeply rooted in that Jewish thought and the system that was provided, that Christ himself was the fulfillment, understanding that the Passover, that became a point of remembrance for the Jewish people, that was so very bloody and cruel and personal. Imagine having a pet lamb and having that lamb to be slaughtered, that became very intimate and very tearful. And yet somehow, I think in our own country particularly, it gets a little sanitized and probably covered over because we are not ones to move towards something so gruesome, and it makes us feel awkward and sometimes squeamish. I do appreciate Dr. Jim that I could think of the last 5 years that I've been here, that every year he would end up reading narrative about how painful it was physically. And everything from the beginning stages of bleeding through his sweat to the 2.5 miles of walking, to being up all night, to the brutal beating of the guards that thoroughly enjoyed it, to obviously the point of being flogged, to the point of almost death and not being able to carry the cross. And Jesus himself was a very fit man, I believe, in what he did and the amount of travel he took, to being taken up to Golgotha, Calvary. And again, when we read these passages, it's just hard to come to grips with how bloody and painful, excruciating that crucifixion was, that Romans borrowed from the Persians 300 years earlier. They began, and they well understood the physical, emotional, mental, and moral shame that it was standing there and then being thrust down to the ground and 6 to 9 inch nails put through your wrists and then lifted up at all to look at you. And for most, that went on for days and days. But the exact timing in which Jesus knew that he cried out to his own mother as the Son of Man, but ultimately to the Father as the Son of God, and those final words. And it's just hard to fully come to grips with that. That your sin and my sin is really what put him on that cross. Many, many times being out in Guam with a very Catholic world that we lived in, they made Friday, Good Friday, a very, very big deal. Fact is, we had a large academy, and for years we were out there, we had school, and I realized this is really an offense to a group of people that are more religious than we are as a Baptist church. And so we stopped school on Friday. And we offered different services, and because they realized this was, to them, Good Friday. Many a time, I had somebody say, "Pastor, what is so good about Good Friday?" I ran across an article that somebody wisely said, "Why do we call the day of Jesus' death Good Friday instead of rather Bad Friday or something similar?" This article went on to say some Christian traditions take the approach, for example, in Germany, evidently the day is called Sorrowful Friday. In English, the term good is debated. Some believe it might be developed from the older name God's Friday. But if good is defined as something that's accomplished its purpose, then it was good. But regardless of the origin, this author says the name Good Friday is entirely appropriate because the suffering and death of Jesus, as terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins. The good news of deliverance only makes sense once you see how we were enslaved. Another way of saying that is essential to understand how distinguishing between the law and the gospel and the scriptures and what the Jews did to offer a covering for their sin, and that day of atonement, that for us, this was the perfect time in which it was really the most important day. As Paul said, this is the one thing I left with you, and that our sins, according to the scriptures, he was buried and he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. And so in some way, Good Friday is good because as terrible as that day was, it had to happen for us to receive this joy of what the world calls Easter on Sunday. For us, it's a resurrection day. And that wrath of God against sin had to be poured out on Jesus. And without that awful day of suffering, sorrow, blood on the cross, God could not be both just and the justifier who trust in Jesus, as Romans 3 says. So the cross is where we see the convergence of great suffering and God's forgiveness. As Psalm 85 says, it sings of the day when righteousness and peace kiss each other. Good Friday marked the day when wrath and mercy met at the cross. That's why Good Friday is so dark and so good. And it fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. I hope that today you'll take some time along the line. I personally read articles. There's a few movies that are very gruesome. But I want it to shock my system annually that he did that for me. And when I realize that, it helps me to have a greater joy because it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And I'm thankful for that. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for a school that set aside a day, a chapel, that in the busyness of a scholastic year, it's easy to make this day or this weekend just another weekend, and we will roll on and we move on and the next week and the next week. Thank you that we can pause and take a few moments and be remembered through the reading of scriptures and the singing of traditional songs to touch our hard hearts on occasion and our steel-belted minds that miss the soft, tender, intimate, personal, painful sacrifice that, Lord, you knew you came for this very purpose, this moment in time. It perfectly allowed that sacrifice to be given once for all, the just for the unjust. And I pray that you would drive that deep into our souls today. And Saturday, using this day as a reflection, and then celebrating on Sunday in those local churches that are designed to be the spread of the genius of the gospel, the good news that we would give it to others. Go before us, many that are traveling today, and keep them safe. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.